RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you first our news, followed by news from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you to you our daily segment, Listeners Mailbag. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Listener, welcome to the news. Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo to study China One Belt One Road Initiative. Indonesia pitches infrastructure projects at One Belt One Road. Now, the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo stated he would study the One Belt One Road or OBOR initiative that would be offered by China during his visit to that country from May 14 to 15. He said at Halim Perdana Kusuma International Airport before leaving for Beijing on Saturday afternoon that he will see what the One Belt One Road concept is like, and only after that the government will know from where it can join. The president was accompanied by First Lady Iriana Pratikno, the State Secretary, Thomas Lembong, Head of Capital Investment Coordinating Board, and Jonan Budi, the Presidential Special Staff for Communication. They are scheduled to attend the Belt and Road Forum Summit in Beijing. President Jokowi affirmed many heads of state and government would be attending the meeting. He remarked that all heads of state, especially from ASEAN, will be attending, including Malaysian Prime Minister Najib Razak. President Tayyip Erdogan of Turkey will also be there. At least 29 heads of state or government from 50 countries will be there, and Indonesia have been invited. The president and his delegation left aboard presidential aircraft Boeing 737-800 BBG-2 from Jakarta's Halim Perdana Kusuma Airbase. Coordinating Maritime Affairs Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan said that Indonesia's participation in the One Belt, One Road or OBOR Summit in Beijing will boost the equity of infrastructure development in Indonesia. Luhut said in Beijing in a press release received by Tempo on Sunday that Indonesia's strategy is to promote sustainable and balanced development between Java and outside Java. That's what the government is offering to China so that they can be a part of a sustainable development. According to Luhut, a number of projects in Manado are focused on interregional connections and the transportation sector. Luhut explained that the airfield in Manado has reached its maximum length since there's a mound at the end of it. The length is 2,800 meters now. Luhut added that an area with a size of a few thousand hectares in Manado will be pitched to investors to be developed. Luhut will also pitch the new transportation hub and accommodation projects, which are expected to open new connection between eastern Indonesia and foreign countries. The minister also added that the government is also planning to develop a railway construction project that will connect Gorontalo and Bitung so that it can be a hub in East Indonesia. Bitung is quite strategic and it can connect straight to Darwin and Japan. Vice President Yusuf Kalla has appreciated the renovated Baitur Rahman Grand Mosque in Aceh provincial capital Banda Aceh during its inauguration on Saturday. The Baitur Rahman Grand Mosque has been equipped with 12 electric umbrellas which resemble the style of the Nabawi Grand Mosque in Medina, Saudi Arabia. The Indonesian Vice President announced in the country's westernmost province that the mosque is already complete. Being the Vice President and General Chairman of the Indonesian Mosque Council, Kalla expressed happiness and appreciation for all the efforts undertaken towards modernizing the mosque. The Vice President explained that it is complete only if the prosperity of the mosque is in line with its beauty. The prosperity of the mosque means that the mosque must be busy with prayer activities and must be beneficial to the society too. The iconic mosque of Aceh province has been equipped with 12 electric umbrellas at the mosque yard to accommodate more worshippers. From the previous 9,000, the mosque is now able to accommodate 24,000 worshippers. Indonesian Ambassador to Japan Arifin Tasrif encouraged Indonesian entrepreneurs in Japan to strengthen synergies for national interests. The ambassador stated in a press statement from the Indonesian embassy in Tokyo on Saturday in a meeting with 30 Indonesian entrepreneurs in Japan. He said that Indonesian entrepreneurs must be synergized in order to increase the Indonesian's interest in Japan and to strengthen the cooperation network. This initiative was well received by entrepreneurs who attended the event at the Indonesian ambassador official residence in Japan. According to Arifin Tasrif, this initiative will be poured in the number of activities, among others, by building the Association of Indonesian Entrepreneurs in Japan. In addition, the embassy in Tokyo, in cooperation with Indonesian businessmen in Japan, will hold a meeting regularly once every 4 months. The Indonesian Minister of Tourism has been working with the East Nusa Tenggara administration to boost tourism in the area. Tourism Minister Arif Yahya said to tourism destinations in the province, known by its abbreviation East Nusa Tenggara, are already quite famous. Its capital and Labuan Bajo, the gateway to the Komodo National Park, where the famous Komodo dragons can be found. The government is working hard to improve access to ND, including by extending the runway at its Hasan Aerobusman Airport to accommodate Boeing 737s. The minister said at the launch of the East Nusa Tenggara Provincial Tourism Event 2017 on Friday that the government also built more than 400 new homestays in 10 tourist villages in ND. Beginning in the July this year, Labuan Bajo will also have its own tourism authority board, and a new marina is also being built at its harbor and expected to be fully operational by August 2018. The city's Komodo Airport will also be expanded into an international airport to be managed by state airport operator Angkasa Pura I. Indonesia's diaspora in England introduced Indonesia to the British society by holding Family Fun Day, which was enlivened by dangdut music performance from Bandina Group consisting of domestic workers in London led by Wahyu Dinamika. As quoted by Antara, the diaspora party theme Experience Indonesia was attended by Indonesian Ambassador to London Rizal Sukma and wife Hana A. Satrio. Ambassador Rizal Sukma appreciated Indonesia's diaspora activities and initiatives by stating Indonesia's promotion in the United Kingdom cannot be done only by the Indonesian Embassy in London. Meanwhile, the diaspora chairman of United Kingdom and the Republic of Ireland, Eileen Wisuda, said that the event was aimed to introduce Indonesia to the British community. He explained that diaspora officials are trying to help providing services to the people of Indonesia to get into the British community. The last item, Indonesia's current account deficit widened slightly in the first quarter to $2.4 billion, equal to 1.0% of gross domestic product, the central bank has said on Friday. The deficit was a revised 0.9% in the fourth quarter of 2016, Bank Indonesia has said it originally reported the October to December deficit as 0.8% of GDP. A surplus in the country's financial and capital accounts was more than enough to cover the first quarter's deficit, bringing Indonesia's balance of payments to a surplus of $4.5 billion in January to March. In the previous quarter, the surplus was roughly the same. The current account is the broadest measure of country's foreign trade in both goods and services. It is part of the balance of payments which summarize an economy's transaction with the rest of the world. At 1%, Indonesia's current account deficit is at a comfortable level, and in 2013, the deficit topped 4% of GDP, putting pressure on the rupiah. That was the news. Listener, welcome to the news from across the country. The segment will present to you various interesting information throughout the country in a week. Today, we will inform you the celebration of Vaisak Day in several regions. We begin with the news from Jambi. Muaro Jambi Temple Festival in Jambi Province was held on 11 to 14 May 2017. The festival is conducted simultaneously with the celebration of Vaisak 2561 to increase tourist visit in the enchantment area. In the festival, the regional government of Muaro Jambi collaborated with the Vaisak Celebration Committee so that the festival is believed to be able to attract tourists. Muaro Jambi Temple Festival is held at the temple site covering the land in seven village areas, namely Dusun Baru Village, Lake Lamo, Muaro Jambi, Kemingking Luar, Kemingking Dalam, Teluk Jambu, and Mudo Village. One of the activities is release of 1,000 lanterns. The event was held ahead of Thursday, and the committee of the Vaisak celebration at Muaro Jambi Temple Dharmawan said that about 3,000 monks attended the lantern release events. In the past few centuries, Muaro Jambi Temple was a center of Buddhist education. The Supreme Master Buddha, Aditya from Tibet, is said has ever lived and studies at Muaro Jambi Temple, Sumatra, for 11 years or about 1011 to 1023 AD. Next information comes from Bali. Hundreds of Buddhists at the Giri Mangala Monastery, Alasankar Village, Buleleng District, Bali celebrates Vaisak Day with Balinese culture and traditions. The head of Giri Mangala Monastery, Vardar Ketut Widyasa, said on Thursday that the cultural acculturation in the village has been established since decades ago. There is no distance and boundaries between Hindu and Buddhist villages, all integrated into Balinese traditions and culture. The father said that in every Vaisak Feast, Buddhists gather together to make offerings to the Buddha by the Hindu community. The form and means of offerings are basically the same as some types of offering, such as gebogan offerings, kanang sari, and several other types. In addition, the surrounding community also helped to organize the vihara as well as maintaining security and order in the vihara coordinated directly by Pechalang. Not only that, the celebration of Vaisak in the afternoon was also enlivened with some Balinese dance performance and also gong kabiar or percussion performance of traditional Balinese musical instruments. The last information comes from Magelang, Central Java. Moment of Vesak 2561 took place with a Dharma Santi ceremony in Lumbini Park Borobudur Temple, Magelang, Central Java, on Thursday, 11 May 2017, early morning. However, it did not discourage thousands of people and communities to follow the religious activity solemnly. The people who participated the ceremony not only came from various regions in Indonesia, but also from abroad such as Laos, Vietnam, Singapore, Bangkok, Bangladesh, Japan, and other countries in Europe and America. The Vesak celebration began with the release of 1,999 lanterns in the Aksobia Garden Borobudur Temple. Prayer and hope were affixed on every lantern flying into the sky. Furthermore, the reading into the sacred Paritawar prayer was led by the leaders. They then conducted pradakshina or surrounding the Borobudur temple while continuing to read Parita. The silent and solemn under the full moonlight added with the sacredness of this ritual when entered the procession of Vaisak by Tadisha Biksu Paramita Mahastavira, Chairman of Sangha Theravada Indonesia, Bhikkhu Subhapanno Mahathera, explained that Tri Suci Vaisak is an activity to commemorate the three holy events in the life of Gautama Buddha. The three events, namely birth, achieving of perfect enlightenment, and pass away. The theme of this year's ritual is Cinta Kasih Penjaga Kebinekaan, or Love of the Diversity Guard. According to Subhapanno, love is a power to maintain and unify humanity, especially in Indonesia in a real diversity. That was the news from across the country.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, we meet again in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on May 14, 1948, when David Ben-Gurion declared Israeli Declarations of Independence. The Israeli Declaration of Independence, formerly the Declaration of the Establishment of the State of Israel, was proclaimed on May 14, 1948 by David Ben-Gurion, the executive head of the World Zionist Organizations and the chairman of the Jewish Agency for Palestine. It declared the establishment of a Jewish state in Eretz Israel to be known as the State of Israel, which would come into effect on termination of the British mandate at midnight that day. The event is celebrated annually in Israel. The next event was in 1954 when the Warsaw Pact was signed by Communist Bloc countries. The Warsaw Pact formally the Treaty of Friendship, Cooperation and Mutual Assistance, sometimes informally War Pact, akin in format to NATO, was a collective defense treaty among eight communist states of Central and Eastern Europe in existence during the Cold War. The Warsaw Pact was the military complement to the Council for Mutual Economic Assistance, the regional economic organization for the communist states of Central and Eastern Europe. The Warsaw Pact was in part a Soviet military reaction to the integration of West Germany into NATO in 1955 at the Paris Pact of 1954, but was primarily motivated by Soviet desires to maintain control over military forces in Central and Eastern Europe. In turn, according to the Warsaw Pact preamble, meant to maintain peace in Europe, guided by the objective points and principles of the Charter of the United Nations in 1945, after the collapse of the USSR and the end of the Cold War, the alliance was transformed into the subsequent Collective Security Treaty Organization, or CSTO. And the last event was in 1991, when Winnie Mandela was sentenced to 6 years in prison for enforcedly disappearing four young people. In the late 1990s, the Commission for Truth and Reconciliations found that Winnie Madikizela Mandela was responsible for enforcedly disappearing four men. The cases occurred in 1980. However, her involvement was declared unproven at that moment, even though the leader of her bodyguard, Jerry Richardson, and a number of his colleagues claimed to the Truth and Reconciliations Commission that he had stabbed some young men on the orders of Winnie. On May 14, 1991, the court ultimately sentenced 6 years to Winnie Mandela on enforcedly disappearing the four young men. However, the six-year sentence was then changed into a fine. That was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Highlight of the Week, which today is on more than 100 countries support Indonesia enter UN Security Council. The government of Indonesia is serious in gathering support to become a non-permanent member of the UN Security Council for the 2019-2020 period. If elected, it is the fourth time that Indonesia becomes a non-permanent member of the UN Security Council. The first time was in the 1974-1975 period, then re-elected for the second time in the 1995-1996 period, and for the third time in the 2007 until 2008 period. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi at the State Palace on Friday, May 12, said that the support for Indonesia to become UN Security Council non-permanent member has been voiced by many friendly countries. The last was Chile, which confirmed it's because previously Indonesia had also provided similar support when Chile volunteered to become the UN Security Council non-permanent member. The UN Security Council consists of five permanent members, namely the United States, China, Russia, France, and Britain. Every 2 years, elections are held to appoint 10 non-permanent members. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi explained that the non-permanent membership in the UN Security Council will be undertaken starting 2019. The election will be conducted in 2018. According to Retno Marsudi, Indonesia has been preparing to raise votes since long time ago. After consolidating and making sure to volunteer, it started a more intensive campaign in other countries. Retno Marsudi reiterated that additional support from Chile was confirmed following the visit of Chilean President Veronica Michelle Bachelet to Jakarta. In a meeting at the State Palace on Friday, May the 12th, President Joko Widodo appreciated Chile's support to encourage Indonesia to become a non-permanent member of the UN Security Council. Last month, official support was also stated by Japanese Foreign Minister Nobuo Kishi when he received the visit of Indonesian Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Susi Pujiastuti in Japan. Indonesia's permanent representative to the United Nations in New York, Dian Triansyahjani, earlier said Indonesia is very likely to become a permanent member of the UN Security Council for the period of 2019-2010. He explained that in the last 2 years, the government has launched a campaign to win the support of other countries for the seat in the UN Security Council. According to Dian, Indonesia should be optimistic because it has many advantages as a tolerant country and has the largest Muslim population in the world. In addition, Indonesia has a lot of experience in various UN missions, such as in peace missions since 1950s. In addition, Indonesia is also the initiator of various meetings and ideas related to climate change. Well, that was highlight of this week on more than 100 countries support Indonesia entering UN Security Council. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Listener, welcome to the news in brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo stated he would study the One Belt, One Road initiative that would be offered by China during his visit to that country from May 14 to 15. Coordinating Maritime Affairs Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan said that Indonesia's participation in the One Belt, One Road Summit in Beijing will boost the equity of infrastructure development in Indonesia. Vice President Yusuf Kalla has appreciated the renovated Baitur Rahman Grand Mosque in Aceh Provincial Capital Banda Aceh during its inauguration on Saturday. Indonesian Ambassador to Japan Arifin Tasrif encouraged Indonesian entrepreneurs in Japan to strengthen synergies for national interest. The Indonesian Ministry of Tourism has been working with the East Nusa Tenggara Administration to boost tourism in the area. Indonesia's diaspora in England introduced Indonesia to the British society by holding Family Fun Day, which was enlivened by dangdut music performance from Badana Group consisting of domestic workers in London led by Wahyu Dinamika. Indonesia's current account deficit widened slightly in the first quarter to $2.4 billion, equal to 1.0% of gross domestic product, the central bank said on Friday. That was the news in brief.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11785 kHz, and 15150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a regular segment featuring Indonesian tourism, like places of interest, art and culture, also culinary. Today, I will introduce Ranto Canyon's tourist spot in Brebes, Central Jawa. So stay tuned in to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. In addition to shortwave, you can also listen to this program via www.voi.co.id. Brebes Regency in Central Java Province, Indonesia is not only known for its shallot and salted eggs, but also for a wonderful tourist spot named Ranto Canyon. It is a beautiful spot and has a natural view that is considered similar to the Grand Canyon in Colorado, United States, hence the name Ranto Canyon. The location of this resort is precisely in Windusari Village, Salem District, Brebes, Central Jawa, approximately 2 hours' drive from the center of Brebes City. To get to Ranto Canyon, it's not too difficult because there are many directions along the way. The journey to the location cannot be reached by using public transport, but by car from Brebes takes approximately 2.5 hours. After reaching the parking lot, to get there, you need to walk first. Though not far, more or less only 200 meters, you have to be careful because the road to Ranto Canyon is quite steep. But you don't have to worry because there are many guides that will show you the way. Upon entering Ranto Canyon, you will be greeted by cool mountain air and beautiful scenery among steep cliffs. From the bottom of the river, there is a beautiful scenery, and more specifically, the water that flows between rocky cliffs with a height of 10 to 20 meters. Ranto Canyon is originally a river that runs under the cliff. It has 679 meters long track. In the middle of the journey, you will see a stunning waterfall. Falling down from a height of 20 meters, it looks like raindrops. If you want to explore Ranto Canyon, you can hire a tour guide. The fee is 40,000 rupiahs per person, including a helmet and life jacket. Since it has not been officially managed by the Brebes District Government, admission is free. The tourism concept of Ranto Canyon is that every visitor will enjoy the beautiful atmosphere of the river and the surrounding nature, which is still untouched. Things that can be done there, among others, swimming, cliff diving, and body rafting. If you like challenge and at the same time want to test your adrenaline, you can try the 679-meter trek along Ranto Canyon. But if you don't like the activities that test the adrenaline, you can just play in the water or take pictures with the waterfall scenery in the background between two steep cliffs. If you want to visit this Ranto Canyon tourist attraction, don't forget to ensure the condition of your vehicle and yourself must be in top shape. Bring a change of clothes, make sure your phone or camera battery is maximum, and other than that, of course, don't forget to bring enough supplies. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder today with the topic Ranto Canyon in Brebes, Central Jawa. Meet again tomorrow with another topic. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listeners of Air Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome to Miscellany with me, Alika. This edition will discuss the Declaration of State Language Parity. Bahasa Indonesia is the official language of Indonesia. It is originated from the Youth Pledge on October 28, 1928. Although understood and spoken by more than 90% of Indonesian citizens, Bahasa Indonesia is not the mother tongue for most speakers. In everyday life, most Indonesian people use local language as their mother tongue. Bahasa Indonesia is widely used in the government's institutions, education, mass media, literature, official correspondence, and public forums. The Language Development and Fostering Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture of Republic of Indonesia held the Declaration of State Language Parity. The event was held at Sumantri Bojonegoro Sports Center, Jakarta on Wednesday, May 10, 2017. There were 3 days declared then, namely public space in a lifetime of literacy space, the presence of Indonesian language to maintain diversity and strengthen the state, and the spirit of nation building must be revived. The declaration was attended by 1,500 participants consisting of students, public figures, Jakarta government officials, and the general public. head of Language Development and Fostering Agency, Professor Dr. Dadang Sunendar, said it is a movement of the Indonesian nation.
Bahwa sebuah keniscayaan seluruh bangsa Indonesia.
It is a fact that all Indonesian people to love and proud of the language of this country. The declaration of state language priority is indeed a momentum to remind people that we have something to make the nation unite, namely Bahasa Indonesia. Dadang Sunendar explained that the declaration was due to the fact that there are still many unnecessary foreign language usage in the public space. Therefore, the Jakarta Provincial Government and the Language Agency worked together to organize a movement of prioritizing the Indonesian language. This is because the local government of Jakarta has the tools and authority to discipline the public space in Jakarta. According to Dadang Sunendar, public space is a literacy space throughout life and belongs to the people. Regarding the tendency of society, especially young people, to use foreign languages, Dadang views it as a phenomenon that does not only happen in Indonesia. For that reason, one of the tasks of the agency is to ask all Indonesian people, especially the younger generation, to be proud of the language of unity, Bahasa Indonesia, or the Indonesian language. While related to technological developments and the use of foreign terms in Indonesian society, Dadang Sunendar stressed it is part of the agency's task.
Kalau ada istilah-istilah dari teknologi baru, tugas kami adalah.
If there is a term in the new technology, our task is first try to find the synonym of the new vocabulary, or if necessary, observe the vocabulary in accordance with the rules of the Indonesian language. Listener, that was miscellany for today. We will meet you again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are knowledge. In this segment, we will always play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now, let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read a letter sent by Koji Nakayama in Japan. He sent his letter to our broadcast that 13th November 2016. He listened to our broadcast in English program through audio streaming www.voi.co.id on 1st November 2016. In his letter, Mr. Koji Nakayama sent reception report of our broadcast. He also enclosed IRC in his letter. Hello Mr. Koji Nakayama, thank you for your attention and appreciation in our broadcast. As your request, we will send our QSL card to your home as soon as possible. In collaboration with Indonesian Ministry of Tourism, Voice of Indonesia is organizing Wonderful Quiz 2017 for listeners in Australia, Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, India, and New Zealand. So we hope that you can participate in the quiz and please send your answer as soon as possible. Who knows, you are one of the lucky winners for the quiz. Keep listening to our broadcast every day and please send your reception report to us. Listener, wherever you are, now we will play a beautiful song for all of you. Enjoy the song. Dia tahu apa yang Listener, now we will reply a letter from W. Anwar in Bangladesh. In his letter, Mr. W. Anwar said that it was the first time he listened to VOI English program. Hello, Mr. W. Anwar. Thank you for your time to monitor our radio. Because you are a newcomer on our broadcast, so we will put your name on our listeners' list. We hope that you will never forget bored to keep listening to Voice of Indonesia. We are really sorry because this time we cannot broadcast in Bengali program. In the next future, hopefully we can add Bengali section. So, Mr. W. Anwar, we are looking forward to receiving your next letter or email and also your reception report of our broadcast. As our appreciation, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song, listeners. Listener, now we will reply an email from Jorge Luis in Venezuela. Jorge Luis listened to our English broadcast and sent a short video to VOI. Hello, Mr. Jorge Luis. Thank you for your appreciation and attention on our broadcast. We heard recording of our broadcast which sent by you. We think that it is quite clear. Thank you for sending your reception report in video format. With your reception report, we will able to know how good our broadcast can be heard in your country. As you request, we will send our QSL card to your home. Please be patient to wait for it. Thank you. Keep listening to our broadcast every day and please send your reception report. Listener, Wherever you are now, we are going to play a beautiful song for all of you. Enjoy the song. Listener, actually we have received many emails, but unfortunately we have to sign off now. Thank you for always listening to Voice of Indonesia and visiting our Facebook fan page. We also appreciate your reception report on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. I'll repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi.english@gmail.com, voi.english@gmail.com, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter at VOI Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listeners, to conclude our segment, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I am Andika, thank you for listening, and we will meet again next week in Listener Mailbag. Bye-bye! Mungkinkah
adanya api cinta antara kita. Apakah ini pertanda tumbuhnya benih-benih cinta? Hari demi hari berlalu, raguku dibuatmu beribu tanya di hati. Apakah dirimu rasakan yang sama?
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Aku tak melupakanmu, ku hanya takkan lagi memanjakan diriku padamu. Aku tak melupakanmu, hanya hilang sekejap tuk yakinkan ku sanggup tanpamu. Kan ku terima kenyataannya agar kau dapat menggapai bahagiaanmu. Aku tak melupakanmu, hanya ingin melangkah maju tanpa mengingat dirimu. Aku tak melupakanmu, aku hanya berpura-pura.
rata hatiku, pulihkan diriku. Ku kan tunjukkan padamu agar kau tak pernah menyesal mengenal diriku.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.